Hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT case study call for October 2016. And these are the calls where you guys submit cases in that are going to be evaluated. So it's more than just, hey, I have this client and they have this lab. Can we go over it? It's you've submitted some cases. Now, normally I have an opportunity to have spent a lot of time with the case in advance. And unfortunately, yesterday I had horrendous internet and I wasn't able to, it took me 4 hours to send one email and I gave up and had to actually find a new hotel to be in for this. And I've been going ever since six this morning. So I haven't had a chance to look at it, but I'm pretty good at thinking on my feet. And what I'm going to do is it's Alma's case, and I'm going to, Lynn said she put it in the, let me make sure I know where it is. It's on the calendar and it says, I think she should put a link hopefully to the Dropbox. It says, here we go. So it's INE cases, NEPT cases. Okay. All right. Hopefully. And then Marilyn Thompson also did one too. All right. So we're going to go through that. And Lynn, I think for future reference, if you could put the actual link to the Dropbox file, because sometimes they don't sync for me and I can't find them on my computer. So I'm going to see if I can find them on my computer, NEPT cases, and then Alma, nope, it's still having that problem where they don't sync to this particular folder. Oh, Alma, there we go. Alma, and nope, they're old. It hasn't synced. So I need to go to the actual Dropbox. Oh, so Dropbox is actually updating as we speak. I'm going to go to the Dropbox folder, and I have to find it there. And give me a second. Yeah, and in the meantime, I'll talk to you while I'm looking. These calls, the best thing to do for case study calls to ensure that I have adequate time to look at them is to get them in a week in advance of the call. I know we've said in the past 48 hours, but if the call is in the middle of the week, because of the craziness of my schedule, oftentimes that doesn't give me enough time to look at them in advance. Now, I can still do them, and we can get a good result from it, even if I haven't had a chance to look at them, but in advance. But I prefer to look at them in advance. So I'm going to open this up, and I'm going to do a share screen. Let me go to Join Me. There we go. Oh, it's making me sign in to Join Me. Oh, I have to find my login. Okay. And my password is, give me a second, Join Me. Edit. Yeah, so getting these in a week in advance really helps. And then, you know, I'll ask from my perspective of Lynn, and we've actually got somebody new on the team that hopefully is going to take that off Lynn's plate so she doesn't have to do all that work, then we'll absolutely be able to have more time to look at this. Okay, so password is there. And my email. So, why does it want me to create a free account? I already have an account. I'm sorry. Lynn, is there any way that you can, Lynn, are you on the call? Because if you're on and you can show the screen, it would be much easier for me because I can't seem to get this Join Me to work unless you can fax, send me via, I'm on a new laptop. I'm on the road, and Lynn, if you could send me via Skype my password and user ID for Join Me, it won't let me, damn it, won't let me start it. Let me try this. We just signed up for Zoom, but I haven't had a chance to play with it enough to know how it works well enough to do it, although I might be able to. Okay, log in. There we go. Log in. Let's see, Lynn. Okay, Rita Marie, let me copy that and paste. Oh, it says confirm I'm not a robot. Okay. Okay, log in. Okay. Start a meeting. And Lynn, if you can also send me the link to the Dropbox. Oh, I think I found the Dropbox folder. Never mind. Something bizarre about that folder won't sync on Dropbox. Okay, so I've opened the meeting and we're only going to be on Join Me. We're only going to be showing screen. We're not going to be using the Join Me phone thing because there's no way I could coordinate that. So if I unlock them, it says waiting for presenter. I just joined the meeting. I just started the meeting. Ah, Lynn, help me here. Can you start Join Me and then pass presenter role to me? I'm not happy with this. I have this vision and dream of traveling around the world and running my business from the road, but I can never seem to get the laptop to work as well as my good old-fashioned hardwired in big old computer. I'm totally not able to do this, and I don't know why. Create a free account. No, I want to just already signed up. Yes. I just logged in. Two days before I was about to leave town, my laptop died. And I had to quickly go out and get a laptop because it was going to take 3 weeks to get them and to fix. And I knew I was going to be on the road. So I have a brand new laptop. So some of the stuff isn't okay.
So I can pass the presenter role to you, but you're not in there. Only Alma's in there.
Well, I was in there, but it said waiting for presenter. So I exited and now I'm trying to get in the meeting,
right.
But it's not taking my password.
Okay.
I'm pasting it, and let's see what happens. Oh, then it has this stupid picture, and what does it say? Select all images with a house. Oh, Lordy.
Oh, I will tell you, that's why yesterday for a team meeting I was so late, because it took me forever.
What are they doing? Verify. Select all images with street signs. And it's tiny. It's like teeny tiny.
I know it.
I can't make it bigger. And I'm like, there's a street sign. There's a street sign. There's a street sign. I don't know if that's a street sign. It's too tiny to even see. Lordy.
I've noticed this new Join Me is really tiny.
Yeah, we got to do. Okay, there it is. Now it said this code is valid. Below is the code. Paste it in an empty box below. Holy crap. What are they? We got to get on Zoom. Next meetings are going to be doing Zoom instead of Join Me for this screen share. This is insanity. Oh, it says, do you want to turn off all CAPTCHA? Yes, I do. Enter a valid Join Me user ID and password. What I've been doing.
So you want Dr. Rita Marie as your where you're going
turn
in
off
is, right?
All CAPTCHA, yes. Use
so I'm in as the host right now. So here's
all right.
Steph.
You are. So let Stephanie. Me get in as me then. Let me see if I can get in as just a, okay. Join me / okay.
So Tony, Valerie, backup pin, Mary Lynn, and Drina.
Can you unlock
if you
the
want,
meeting?
It says it's locked.
Yep. I see a bunch of people in there, so you must have given them approval. I'm in now.
Well, I just unlocked it. Okay, other people had asked to join, and I so past present role to who I are you?
Rita, I just changed it to Rita Marie.
There you are.
Okay. Oh, now it's making me download the app. I already have the app downloaded. What are they talking about? Okay. So, okay. MEX set out. Okay. Try it again. Send, I'm going to say request presenter role. Okay. Download app.
Well, I passed the presenter role to you.
Lordy.
No. You know what I did? It's so little. I hit cancel. Okay. There you go.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, I don't know what the heck. Yeah, so this is more and more that we have to get rid of this and start using Zoom. Everybody likes Zoom, although yesterday on
it said you declined it. Allow Rita Marie to present. Okay, now you are the presenter. There you go. I can't hear you. Rita Marie, I can't hear you. Can anybody else hear Rita Marie? Okay, so Dr. Rita Marie is coming back in. So as you probably have seen on our Skype conversation. So we're going to figure out why she is not, why we're not hearing her. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So, Alma, your line is open. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I heard you say yes, so I was like, oh, somebody's line is open.
I opened all the doors.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yep, I saw that. I hear you.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, but, yeah. I'm feeling like I just want to quit right now. So
no.
I think I need some heart math or something. I'm very, I was up until 3 a.m. trying to get a single email sent out for James' call tonight, and the internet was totally not cooperating. It took me 4 hours of trying, and I finally gave up and left the hotel at 6 o'clock this morning and found a new hotel. And this is the third time I've been dropped off a call here. So I don't quite get it. Oh, this is not working. Okay, so let's, I'm just looking to see if there's any wiggle room for rescheduling this, and there's not. So let's just go for it. All right, can you see my slide? Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay, good. So this is you, Alma, or is, this is not a client. This is actually you, right? Or is it?
It's me, yeah.
Okay, I mean, you don't have to say that if you don't want to. I should have realized that. I should have just let you. Okay, so you got a 35-year-old female, 5'10", 142 pounds, no children, chief complaints. Okay, so Dropbox folder for, oh, man, you're not going to make me go circling around.
Because I filled it in twice before. It was so extensive, and I asked do I need to fill it in the third time.
Yeah, but that's, I wish I would have known that from the start. I would have just opened that one in the first place. So skip that one. We're going to try to go back to your folder, which should be right here. Okay. All right, so you submitted it once before.
Yeah, twice before, but both times, last time is good. I think last time was a month or two ago.
It looks like
entry number.
May 5th, entry number 128.
Well, actually, no. There was one after that, but okay.
No. No? Okay, let me go back. How do I get back? Oh, man. I guess I just X out of it. I hate using Dropbox. I like when it downloads to my computer, but for some reason, this folder will not download to my computer. So the last one I have is...
I see entry number 86 on 729.
Yeah.
Seniors is passed slightly up.
There we go. Is this it? July 29th?
That makes more sense. Yeah, there's more.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so 5'10", 135 to 140, age 35, married. Okay, so three main health concerns are depression, weaning off Prozac. So we did this, we did your case before, we just didn't have the Nutrival along with it. Okay, got it. That's right. Digestive issues, bloating. Yes.
Yeah, we did my last time we did my 23andMe. And we saw that I had some methylation issues and detoxification. So I did this test. And plus, I supplement a lot, but I still tend to be low in my blood work. So therefore, I took the Nutrival just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
how it compares with 23andMe, like which genes are being expressed and stuff like that.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I'm just refreshing myself on this case. Previous colon cancer in July 2011. Interventions to date, weekly acupuncture, gluten-free plant-based diet, daily gut rejuvenator, cell reduce for building HDL, lots of liquids, food-based multivitamin and mineral, very hard time absorbing minerals such as zinc and magnesium, take magnesium in a lot of different forms. Yes, I remember this. Do treatment for SIBO in September to November of 2015, H. pylori January to March 2016 as detected on stool. Tess, have you retested those, either one of those?
The H. pylori I did recently, and it was negative.
Good. Great.
Oh, and the SIBO was negative, too. Yeah.
Great. Okay, so those are things that are going along the way. Are you still having the constipation and the various intestinal issues going on? Is that getting better with the shifting?
It's getting better slowly. There's still some bloating, and I have to be careful. And I just tend to be prone to constipation, so I always have to be ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. And you're still doing coffee and mushrooms. That's an interesting combination.
Okay, no coffee. I stopped that. That was my temporary thing I was doing, and I stopped it.
Okay, and did that change the constipation, the frequency of bowel movements?
No, I think it's no.
Okay, and the last time we spoke, you were interested in getting, and you'd been weaning yourself down off the Prozac. Where are you at with that right now?
So I'm still going super slow. I decided to give myself a longer timeline than when I first started. I'm at 2.4 milligrams right now. I take it in drop form. It's
great.
It's easy. In drop form, it's like 6 milliliters. So I decided every month I'm going to go down to 5 milliliter, 4 milliliter. And each one of those is, you time it by 4, that's what it tells you in milligrams.
Right.
So
and
a smaller amount.
Since you've added in here, have you been getting some relief with the, because I know it was horrendous, you said, when you were starting to drop down.
Yeah, not in the beginning, but kind of midway it was. And then I think it was also I was taking pregnenolone because my adrenals were low, pregnenolone and DHEA. I stopped the pregnenolone, kept the DHEA. I have a feeling pregnenolone was making me kind of crazy.
Okay. It might have been going down a pathway towards more estrogen or something that wasn't to your advantage. Because that's the thing when you take pregnenolone. You never know which pathway is going to be favored, and that's why it's watching out for it. So you're also on a lot of good stuff, and C, chlorella. Did you determine the 6 grams by doing a C flush or just randomly?
I've done the flush before twice, and I just don't react to it well at all. It's horrible for me. Like first time I went up to 50-something grams because it keeps saying until the stool is loose, but then the next, my stomach was just not in good shape for next 2 days. My gut, it was just, and I even got sick the next day. Like, I literally vomited, and I don't do that.
Yeah.
Something was up there, and then I tried it again later because Lynn said drink a lot of water, which I did. I mean, I was drinking. It almost felt like the same. Whenever I have a colonoscopy, you know, you drink that gallon, and most people drink, like, first 5 minutes, they have to rush to the bathroom. Not me. I drink the whole gallon. It's just sitting there, and I look at my belly. I look like I'm 6 months pregnant. And sometime, hours later, I will go to the bathroom. That's how it felt with the flush.
Wow.
So, how did you
it sounds like it. There's some kind of motility thing going on there that even when a lot of the liquid is being pulled in, because that's what happens when you take a lot of the C beyond what you really need, you start to pull a lot of liquid into the colon, and that generally will just flush it through. But sounds to me there might be a motility issue or something, maybe possibly even a neurologic control, that you're not getting that signal. So flush it.
Yeah.
And you should be. Yeah. So 6 grams is where you just, like, how did you decide that? Was that random? Was that based on anything you'd read or?
I just kind of random for my adrenals. I take 2 grams in a tablet form with each meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
And have you experimented with increasing that?
I have not.
Slowly, as opposed to the flush. Some people don't do well with the flush, but what we do is just have them add a gram a day and just see where they go with that. That might be something to keep. And we'll look at the NutriVal to see if that bears up. I'm just kind of using what's going, I'm just like talking loud, the stuff that's going through my head as I go through this, which I think would be helpful. Might be scary to get in there, but it, you know, it could be helpful as well. So our lipoic acid with lots of great adaptogens and antioxidants that you're taking, D3, K2, selenium, zinc, magnesium, probiotics, Vitex and maca. When you say for my hormones, was that because of specific issues with your hormones? I mean, you're 35, you'd say?
35. Yeah, I'm 35, but ever since I finished chemo, the last one was 3 years ago, I really feel like it's messed my hormones up. I'm getting slightly better. I used to have, like, horrible even night flashes. I mean, hot flashes at night, like night sweats. That has gone away, but now it's just we did my hormone test, the 24-hour urine test. Everything was super low, the progesterone, the estrogen. I just get super, super tired that time of the month and also have, just a lot of not good symptoms. So I take those things to kind of increase my progesterone and try and balance some of it. Mm-hmm.
And then you did the 24-hour urine test how long ago?
Oh, that was in March.
March. Okay. All right. So it's
and remember, like we recently talked, I'm trying to order it from Precision.
Yes. Yes. I remember having a conversation about it. I just didn't remember exactly when you'd had it done. So it's always a good thing in your situation with so much, you know, complicating factors leading up to this to redo at night, to redo the test and see where you're at. And you may have to redo it or subset of it, which is why the Precision, it makes it easier periodically to just make sure that you're on the right track with all this stuff. And did you
since the first one?
I was thinking to ask if you ever went back and redid the adrenals, or if that was that also in March? I don't remember the date when you did it.
No, the adrenal, they showed some of it in the Meridian Valley, but then I also did a separate ASI. That was maybe in April. I haven't redone that either because I figured if I do the Dutch, that covers both, right?
Covers both.
I'm just kind of waiting on the Precision to call me back. But since before I did the complete urine and now it's going to be Dutch, they're slightly different. Is it still easy? Will it be easy enough to compare?
Comparable. There's some stuff that the Dutch gives that the other tests don't, which is the the metabolites on the adrenals. Mm-hmm. But the metabolites on the others are fairly close. And I've had somebody do it like within a month of itself just to compare, and they were fairly close. You know, the adrenals were not done in saliva versus, you know, and the metabolites were different. But as far as all the estrogen metabolites and all that, they were very close. So I think we can compare. We'll get a general idea. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be precise as if we're comparing, but yeah, we definitely could.
Okay.
When you say hypothyroid, remind me what that is. Was that low T3? Was that low TSH? I mean, high TSH?
The TSH was normal. There was a conversion issue.
Okay, got it.
From T4 to T3. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, good. So let's look at your NutriVal. I know somebody else was asking about, Michelle was asking about doing it. Hopefully she's on it. She's asking about it. Nope, hopefully she'll get to listen in on this. So the NutriVal, for those who don't know, is a test that Genova does, and it tests all the different nutrients and antioxidants, minerals, vitamins, and fatty acids, amino acids, and it tests it in the proper compartments that makes it good. So they don't, it's not just a serum test for these things, because a lot of these things, serum tests are useless. But if it is serum that's good, like a vitamin D, then it would test that. So it tests all the nutrients, and then it graphs it out. So the first page is going to give us the general idea of what really is needed. So she doesn't have anything in the normal so far, right? Except for zinc. Oh. Wow.
And that's crazy, because zinc is always low on my blood work. And as a matter of fact, I just had blood work done like 3 weeks ago, and it was like 50-something on the low end. So I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, well, zinc is not, you know, the measuring zinc in the blood is not accurate. So have you looked, what about your alkaline phosphatase? Is that low or normal?
That's gone up since before. Like, I compared them every 3 months. It was in the 50s and 75. I think now it's 75 or 80.
Okay. Probably because you're supplementing it so much that you've gotten it up. A lot of borderlines, and then a lot of the high needs. Mm-hmm. And the high needs, you know, when you're prioritizing, obviously you're going to look, you're going to take what's showing up here, but also what's clinically relevant. The most. So, you know, your B vitamins are clearly pretty off, and you did have MTHFR. I can't remember if it was heterozygous or homozygous on your chest.
On the which SNP?
On the genetic. The MTHFR.
There was a lot of homo. Yeah, I had the homo on the A1289C.
Okay.
Which one you're...
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go back here because it's attached to this. If it works, if I click it. Maybe work. Just so I have it in one. Wait, that's not the one I want. No, let's look at this one's quick and easy to look at. Let's not put it. See if I actually put it in here. Save it there. Name. Yeah, so you have, yeah, the 1298C is homozygous. And then the other ones I want to look at related to your B12 and folate status are the MTRRs, and you've got just one of those that's heterozygous. So we go back to NutriVal. It's showing your B12 is actually in the red, and folic acid is in the borderline folate. And going back to your supplements, do you supplement both of these or relatively equally?
I do take B supplements twice a day, B complex. And then it's also in a couple of other things I take, the 5-HTP.
But you don't separate B12.
Well, these are B complex, and they do have B12, okay. And then the total amino.
So, yeah,
but also
let me explain a lot of stuff about B12 in a supplement, in a combo. For a lot of people, taking B12 as part of a multi or a multi B complex is not going to be very effective, because if there's some intrinsic factor issues, then, or stomach issues with the stomach lining, especially if somebody who has had H. pylori, they may not be making enough intrinsic factor for that to work. So typically, I'd like to see someone with an issue. Like with this, I'd like you to get some sublingual or liposomal B12 so that it actually gets absorbed.
Sublingual,
so clearly,
B12?
The word isn't absorbed, but the B12, yeah.
Sublingual or liposomal. And I also just started taking, yeah, adenosyl about... That's the one last week.
Since the test was taken? Or before?
I'm sorry?
Was it before the test was taken or after?
Oh, after. I started the Adenosil just after. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
The methylfolate I started in drop form just recently. So that was after.
Okay. Good. Good. So lots of your Bs are low. All of your Bs are low, obviously. So I'd be looking at the form that you're taking. And are you taking capsule of those or liquids?
I've been taking capsules, and then now I added the 5-MTHF, that's one in liquid form.
Right. And then the methylcobalamin, the adenosyl, is that like a chewable lozenge, or is that a liquid?
No, those are in capsules.
Okay. Yeah. So you might consider sublingual on that as well. Sublingual
mm-hmm.
drop or liposomal. I know they don't have adenosyl in liposomal, but you can get
mm-hmm.
the methylcobalamin. I think the issue, let me look back at your 23andMe, was your T is, yeah, that's not too bad. Okay. Yeah, so B vitamins are clearly, you're going to have to up them. I mean, you can use these as guidelines, these amounts that they put, right? So for being low, they give you a guideline. So I would look at your supplements to see if you're within that guideline. And then make sure that I would be bumping it up a little bit or changing the form. So if you're doing just a capsule, if you're doing a tablet, certainly anything is better. But you can get liquid.
Okay.
Like liquid,
yeah.
Premier Research has a liquid. I think Pure Encapsulations may have a liquid. But a liquid multi-B would be a good thing to get.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Premier Research or Pure Encapsulation Liquid B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you're taking a fair amount of magnesium, it looks like, if I look back.
Oh, yeah, I take a ton, more than anybody I know.
Yeah, you're still showing severely low. And what form? Oh, safety above form. I remember you saying taurate.
I take it in every single form that exists. I take it in every form that I know that exists.
Every form that you know.
I
see that. Glycinate, threonate. Do you take taurate?
Threonate. But I just also started using Ease, the body spray, supposedly much better absorbable.
The topical, yeah. A friend of mine, who's been in practice for over 30 years, she said that she's been finding that the magnesium taurate seems to be. Do you get leg cramps? Yeah.
No.
Magnesium
taurate. That's different than threonate,
different
right?
Threonate. It's magnesium combined with the taurine, and taurine is also a precursor to GABA, and GABA is an inhibitory amino acid or neurotransmitter.
Yeah.
So it could have something to do, and it might actually help relax your colon. It's certainly worth a try, right?
Yeah. Taurate. Okay.
But you clearly need more than what you're taking. And, you can do the bowel tolerance thing on the magnesium. Just keep increasing it a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. I've seen people take up to 1,600 before they start to reach their bowel tolerance. So you might want to look at that.
I take 2,000 just in one form and then in another form. Because I take the Life Extension 4 capsules, and each capsule is 500 milligrams.
So
that
either it's not being absorbed. Look at the Life Extensions because they usually have excipients in them that might be getting in the way. I would switch magnesium as much as you can to powder. There's a number of them. I mean, you said you were taking Calm and you stopped. What was the reason for stopping? Was it bad press or what?
Arsenic. Arsenic. There was a study that found high levels of arsenic.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. So look for the target. Look for things that don't have any of the excipients. Like I know that Life Extensions usually puts rice flour and magnesium stearate in there, and that might be difficult for you to break down. That's one possibility. Mm. If you're taking that much of theirs, I just probably
switch. Is that the same as stearic acid?
Yeah, stearic acid.
Oh, okay, because I'm reading the label now.
Yeah.
See, I tried also the metagenics.
Metagenics is also loaded with stearates. I go with powder. You're having trouble absorbing it. You're taking a huge amount, and either your need is so enormously high, or you're not absorbing the forms you're taking. So I would look at that. Look at getting it in powder form. I don't know of many in the way of liquids. I know I've been looking at Designs for Health has one that just found this out, a glycinate, powdered magnesium glycinate.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Powdered. There are liquids. I know that Good State and Trace Minerals Research have liquid ones. But I would switch it up. I would say, look, you're taking 2,000 or more, then I would be switching it up and changing brands and changing forms and figuring it out, because you've got to get that magnesium up, and that might be contributing to the constipation.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Designs for Health. There's a magnesium citrate, a magnesium chelate. Which one?
They have a glycinate that's powder. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay.
Unless it's that new, so it's talking to. Okay, here we go. Is this Design Cycle? That's 120 count. Glycinate chelate. Is it a powder? Tablet and powder next month. But they said they already had it. Maybe they were just, I know that one of their reps, and she was telling me, and I hadn't heard of it before. Maybe it's because it's brand new. It doesn't say when this is written, but it says next month. But let's see, products.
They're Seeking for Health magnesium glycinate powder.
Oh, good. Seeking Health has one too. Yeah.
Oh, Seeking
so
Health.
Where you can find it in, powdered liquid forms, and experiment with those. Because if you take too much magnesium, you're going to have a bowel issue, and maybe your bowels are different enough because that it won't cause that. But I would think that it would, I would think that it would be doing something.
Okay.
So definitely, that's a critical for what the stuff you're going on. It's also important for neurotransmitters. And they give you a supplemental dose based on what's finding in there. So I would be looking at your amounts that you're currently taking and seeing what you need more of. Okay, and again, it's guesswork, but it does give you a nice chart. That's why it's a nice test to do for people, because people can actually see what they need. Again, with the probiotics in the 50 billion range, you're probably taking that already, my guess is.
Yeah.
Well, this page, are these pages out of order? Because it's giving you this. I usually see this. Oh, no, page two, interesting. So it tells you about the amino acids before it actually shows them. Because it looks like the only one that they're showing is lysine, the need for. So let's just go through this rest of this. Let's see. Yeah, so the rest of this gives you great explanations. We're not going to spend time doing it. It just gives you ideas of what the deficiencies might result in. And this is especially when you're working with clients helps them to see, so that you can, you know, circle things that are their issues and help them to see why it's important. They give you some nice reports, but where's the amino acid and the what were the other minerals? Let's go back to the summary page. It's easiest to see. Excuse me. My thing is not moving. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so zinc looks okay, manganese, molybdenum. Does this mean that's the only mineral that they tested, or see down below? Okay, KP10, antioxidants, so, you know, lots of need for the antioxidants and stuff like that. Yeah, they only show those particular ones. The tendency when we do these kind of tests is to want to, you know, just put somebody, like, to make it formulaic. Like, oh, they said to take this, so therefore I'll take that, and everything will get better. And it's still a guideline. It's still using clinical treatment. But it's also looking at, okay, I'm already taking the doses that they're recommending, and I'm still showing up consistent, and it gives you the opportunity to evaluate what you're actually taking and the effectiveness of it. The rest of this is just showing Krebs cycle stuff. But where are the amino acids? And usually the Nutravel has amino acids and fatty acids.
Yeah, they're right.
Ah, there we go.
They're right off.
Yeah, right after.
So, got it. I wanted to mention about the amino acids. You know, from Nutravel, they ask you to stop all supplements 5 days before. So I stopped everything except my amino acids because I'm taking those, you know, for the Prozac thing. I couldn't be without them. So that's
right.
The reason some of them may show up higher, like tyrosine or 5-HTP.
Okay. But that's good because if you were still on them, it gives us a sense of how well those are sitting for you. And it doesn't mean that you need the amount. If you've got a specific issue, you're clearly your needs are going to be higher. Wow, this has taken a long time to refresh my page. I wonder why. So the omega-3, okay,
it looks like you, a couple of pages, there was a couple of, like, with the dysbiosis and some other stuff. That was before that.
Yeah, it looks like they're all
page,
a whole bunch of them.
And there was right after the Krebs cycle, there was page 7. That one talks about dysbiosis.
And it's
energy metabolism. Yeah, the next page.
This one, Oh, yeah, because this shows some of the – so I was wondering about this because when we were discussing it on – Facebook, and I wasn't sure whether there was some organic acids included, and it looks like they are. It looks like it does include the oat, or at least some of the oat markers in here as well. Well, phooey. I don't know if it has to do with the internet being slow because I've got the screen share or what, but this is like crazy. This is why I wanted it. Let me see if I can download it and show it on my screen. That should be better. Download it. I usually like to do it right from my own Dropbox because, okay, there we go. Let's see. Okay, I think this is going to be better. There we go, much better. Okay, so, so this is like, this is a lot of the markers, and I'm not sure, you know, I'd have to compare them, but these are the markers that we usually see on the oat test. So if Michelle is listening, she was talking about which should she do, the Nutravel or the oat. Looks like this actually includes a lot of the oat markers as well. So it's showing a little bit of malabsorption, right, these indoles and phenylacetic acids. There are definite markers of bacterial dysbiosis, so even if you cleared up, say, the H. pylori, that still some other stuff on, and I don't know how it weighs out with the stool test. It's not as specific, so we can't say, oh, well, which, you know, what do we have to do to restore the balance? I think number one is looking at your your good bacteria, and, you know, overall, mm-hmm. just said you basically bolt your food down a lot of times. You don't take the time to actually chew. So those are really critical for having good digestive function. So working on that, but also looking at some of the you've got a couple of fungal, you've got fungal markers and you've got bacterial markers. So it's still really working on that dysbiosis is critical here. And that may be a really big factor in why the nutrients are not absorbing the way they should. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, even though the last 401H was fine, this just means that the balance between the gut bugs is not
right, or there were bugs that didn't pick up. So the 401H, I really like the H part of that test, but I, you mm-hmm. know, and I stuff get picked up on there, so everything wasn't there. So sometimes you need a more detailed test. We're looking into some other tests as well. I can't remember his name. David Brady. Brady. I was having a conversation with him. He used to run Metametrics, but he's got his own lab now, and they're doing some really advanced GI testing. And I'm trying to get more information about how we can start using that to look deeper into that stuff. There's also there's genetic markers, but there's clearly some gut stuff, even though it may not have shown up as far as how to isolate the specific bacteria. There's markers that mm-hmm. the bacteria are producing these toxic byproducts, and they're not being eliminated.
Uh-huh.
And that's an issue. You've got a lot of stuff going on with your gut still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you did your stool test, your 401H, how long ago was that?
This last one was a month ago.
Oh, just a month ago. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it showed up clear.
Yeah, the E. coli was high, which it's been high, so that didn't budge. There was one non-pathogenic parasite found.
Okay. When you so when you got that test result back, did you just stop any antimicrobial gut stuff that you were taking?
Did I stop?
Yeah, were you on a protocol that you saw that it was better, so you stopped, or did you continue? What was the story? Had you already been off of it?
I was already off of it, off of the stuff, because I was on some anti-yeast and anti-parasite stuff earlier in the year, May, June, July. So, yeah. This one did not detect any yeast or candida. It just says NG. So only okay. E. coli. It said not detected for Clostridium. Under yeast, it says few yeast.
It said few.
And one
so
type of, yeah, few.
Parasite. So it wasn't completely clear then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's still some stuff going on. I'm just wondering if Jamie or Steph are on the call. They do a lot of the other stuff. No, that's
oh, yeah,
Steph.
She's look. She has had a chance actually to look at the gut test.
The gut test.
The A418.
This since. Has she seen this new travail? And just the when there's a discrepancy between, say, the 401H. So you're saying it wasn't completely clean. It had still showed some stuff, but it was improved.
Yeah.
From the,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so my feeling is if it was improved from when you originally did it, but it wasn't completely clear and you'd already stopped your protocols, I would probably be going back on those protocols.
So would these say none? Is there a person that their yeast should say none? Nobody can have a few? Or?
Well, you're supposed to have good yeasts, right? But you,
yeah.
Typically they're picking up, when they say none is what's normal, meaning
mm-hmm.
there's no dysbiotic yeast and there's no overgrowth of yeast. So that's what I interpret that to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the bacteria? You said there were still lower levels, but they were still there?
Actually, on the bacteria, they spell out each one, and everyone is NG except E. coli plus 4. So E. coli, I've had that since last year. And I was taking something for it, but apparently it didn't help.
Yeah.
And then with the Candida, NG, and other yeast identified, it said no other yeast identified. So the only place where it showed yeast, it just said few, is the very beginning. Each sample had few, yeah.
So since you've been doing it for a while and you've been dealing with it, you might consider doing something like the doctor's data with the, where they do the, sensitivity tests, where they actually see what's going to get rid of it. I mean, so you could try some other things that maybe you haven't tried.
Yeah, actually, I did that.
You did?
Yeah, I did doctor's data in March, and based on doctor's data is when I did the parasite and yeast cleanse.
Okay, but that was back in March.
Yeah.
Back in March. So we don't know what's still there, if it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of choices here, Alma. The choice is to go back and do the test again and see. There's clearly some bacterial markers there, and they're producing byproducts that are not serving you. And, you know, given your history, you want to be super careful with this, right? You don't want to have toxic byproducts floating around in your intestinal tract, right? So you could go back and try to do some things that you didn't do, you know, just experiment with different kinds. But I'd keep on top of this. If I were in a situation, I would go back and do that same test again, the doctor's data, see what it shows up, and then address whatever shows up diligently, and then do another test in 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because this is nonspecific. And sometimes, you know, we can work from nonspecific. We don't always have to subject people to stool tests over and over again. But I'm saying all this because of your history, right?
Yeah.
If you were a typical 35-year-old who had some gas and bloating, we could, you know, play around with this and let's try this and let's try that and then go back and do this test again, or not maybe this full test, but just do this, these markers again and see. But given your history, I'd want to be more careful and more vigilant getting rid of this stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And figuring out why. Why do you have a nice, friendly environment for them to grow? What's keeping them going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's because all of those bacterial dysbiosis markers are in the red. That's why you're saying it, right?
That's why I'm saying it. They're all in the red. There's a couple in the – there's one that's in the yellow, but none of them are in the green. You know, when I look at this, when I see these tests, at least I look at the – I do the Great Plains one, but it's very similar, the same markers that they use. And I typically only see – you know, sometimes I just see one or two in the yellow, one or two in the red, but I typically don't see this much in the red. So, you know, even though there's a discrepancy between the actual stool test and this, you've got to take this seriously because these are the byproducts. These are what are produced. When there's no dysbiosis, when there's no overgrowth, you're going to see these all in the green. I've seen plenty of them all in the green. Plenty thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. And so, as much as I do,
So it's not being as specific as it needs to be. And you know, you might want to make a list of all the different antimicrobials you've done over time and how long you've done them for, and we could actually look at that in more detail, because this is where we want to get down and dirty. Like, okay, what's worked, what's not worked? But done two different tests, it sounds like. You sound like you started with the doctor's data in March, and then more recently, a month ago, you did the 401H.
The 401H last December, and that one showed H. pylori. So I started that. Then I did the doctor's data, and it showed the parasites in me. So I did that. So now I just did the 401H because I happen to have a free one. That's why I did it.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, so you've done them, but it's really important to do follow-up tests, and that's what things we have to really, when we're communicating with our clients about this, is it's really important to do follow-ups, because if you do something and then you do something that is supposed to help it, but you don't verify that it helps it, you don't know. And you want to be very aggressive right at the beginning, like every 3 months, 4 months, that you go back in and you do it again. So you're not, you might be underdosing yourself. It might be as simple as not having the right quantities. It might be the right variety. It might be that you were not rotating vigilantly enough, and so you were getting some resistance happening with those bugs. Does that make sense? Right? So, but we don't know, right, with any particular case. And we have those happily ever after cases where somebody does a test, and then they do a protocol, and then they redo it, and everything's fine, and they feel great, and they go on to live happily ever after, as long as they keep up the good habits they've established.
Yeah.
But yours is clearly more complicated. I mean, just the fact that you went through what you did at, you know, such a young age says that there was this something out of whack in your gut for a really long time, because those things don't, you know, you don't just get colon cancer overnight.
Yeah,
and it says you've got to be more sensitive and more careful about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so make a, go back through, like, what you've done over the last year or 9 months or whatever it is since you first did the 401H, of all the different protocols you've done, and, you know, how long we did things and what the doses were. And it could be as simple as just some of the same stuff but at higher doses. And it may be looking at what didn't you do that worked. Because, yeah, you can do the you can do your test again, the doctor's data test again, and it may or may not show what we need to know, because maybe there's something weird or odd. But I find that the doctor's data does pick up odd bacteria and things that the 401H doesn't always pick up.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I know it's paid.
It starts with doctor's data.
Yeah. But there's, you know, it's clear from this that this got to be worked on. And that could be very, it could be what causing all the nutrients to not be where they should be given how much you're taking and how well you're eating.
And I eat like so much green. It's ridiculous. You know, no processed, gluten-free plants. I did do a green cleanse, kind of my own version of it. I had to add some fat because I have to work and work out. And I don't think I do that well with only raw. I'm going to have to listen to my body.
Yep, you have to listen to it.
Yeah.
It's super important. Super important.
Another thing is, like, really weird thing is, when I was doing the parasite and the yeast cleanse, and I would start doing coffee enemas once a week, and at first it felt great, and I would feel energetic after. And the last couple, not only did I not feel energetic, I could go right to sleep, but there was this thing that happened, whether with coffee enema or water enema or colonic, like my stomach would get super flat, it would be great. And then no matter what I eat that day or drink, even if I'm just drinking juices and eat teeny bit, something super easy to digest, I would get so bloated for the next 2 or 3 days and just stuck, bloated and stuck. And the coffee enemas would do this. It's almost
this on, remember this conversation on Facebook.
Yeah.
We said, look at the
You were mentioning ileocecal. And I would massage that and do all kinds of stuff. It would help a little, but last few times, no matter what I do, I would get bloated, so I just stopped doing the enema.
It
wasn't worth the suffering.
No, it's not, and we don't know what kind of what's causing that to say what kind of stress that's putting on your body. So you know that's clearly when you do something, and you know one time it's hard to tell, two times, but three times, four times than that.
Yeah.
If something that causes an adverse reaction, it means you don't do it, no matter how quote unquote good that is. It's not clearly not what you
want.
It's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and it's the water in the colon. Now, you had a colon resection, you said? How much of your colon?
Yeah, I had about a little less than a foot of my colon, sigmoid colon removed.
When
I do belly massage, and when I do my belly massage, yes, there are things I feel around the cecal valve. Sometimes when I press there, I can suddenly feel like something moving. So I do have a feeling that place, but also where my resection was. Mm-hmm. When I press near there, sometimes things can just kind of get stuck around there. So I'm sure there is, you know, scar tissue, things like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, it's very common with intestinal surgery to have SIBO. Very common. It's just one of the things, mm-hmm. surgery, abdominal surgery.
I don't know if this helps, but I've had my gallbladder removed because I've had two liver surgeries. My cancer metastasized to my liver. During one of the liver surgeries, they removed my gallbladder because it was in the way that was there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so.
Explanation, doctors. They're like, oh, it was in the way. Let's just take it out.
Okay, this is even strengthening my stand for you on the steroids in your supplements, because steroids are fat. It makes you require some fat digestion ability in order to digest your supplements. So go through all your supplements and replace all the ones that have steroids in them.
Anything with stearic acid or magnesium stearate?
Yep, or calcium stearate or vegetable stearate. They name it a bunch of different ways.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because that makes a huge difference, too, because the gallbladder also neutralizes the stomach acid, right? It stimulates the release of the bicarbonate. And pancreas does that as well, but we need an alkaline environment there in the upper part of the duodenum to be able to digest the starches. So you may not even be digesting starch as well. So there's a number of things that not having a gallbladder affects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would be careful whenever you're doing fats. To make sure that those fats have been soaked and germinated to help them get absorbed well.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you've ever looked at or taken, but considering bile salts is super important sometimes if people have their gallbladder removed.
Bile salts?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I talk about that a lot in I can't remember exactly what module it is in CMDS, but it's the one on liver gallbladder. And there's a whole section in there you may want to revisit on considerations when you don't have a gallbladder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just looking to see if anybody had any comments. Oh, man, they changed something on this thing, and it's itty-bitty. I can't even read the thing. I can't read the chat. It's like in two-point font. Let's see. Yeah, Sequoia's talking about the cellular energy being low as well, which you talked about. We haven't even gone that. You mentioned that you mentioned something you did earlier for the mitochondrial support.
Yeah, by mitochondrial support. I don't know if I've done it.
Oh yeah, you do up to B vitamins for that.
Oh, the B vitamins. Okay.
Yeah. Melody says they jumped in a bit late, and yeah, it's the NutriVal, it's that part of it. So Sequoia, do you want me to open up your line if you want to share some of your thoughts on mitochondrial support? I like to make these more interactive and not just me. We haven't even gotten to the mitochondrial support yet. So let's see, where is she? Sequoia, I'm going to open up your line.
Hi,
see what thoughts you may have. Public. Okay. I think, oh, wait, I just lost Sequoia. Oops. I lost Sequoia. Sorry. There she is. Okay.
There's some specific mitochondrial support products, which are, you know, they're a lot wider than just increasing the vitamin D. Like, for instance, there's one, Designs for Health, there's one called Metabolic Synergy. And there's a few companies that do it, and it just helps overall because it's quite specific to increasing the cellular energy in a more robust way.
Right,
and it's just one product, right? So it's easier to take, and I found that is very helpful for people because a lot of the times, if they're not making forward momentum, that it's often the cellular energy that's lacking, and once they have that, then they can seem to make more forward momentum.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Favorite, you mentioned the Designs for Health. Are there any others that you use successfully that you like?
There's I usually test for people, you know, using the muscle testing to see which one's best.
Oops, I can't hear you anymore.
But can you hear me now?
Yeah, you fit out for a bit.
Right. I usually use muscle testing to test to see which one is best for people.
So do you have a bunch of stock that you do? Like you have a bunch stocked in your office that you test them on, or how do you test them?
Yeah. No, I usually keep them so that I have certain products.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can test the certain, I like to test from the product itself.
Right. Are there any other particular brands that we could have Alma take a look at?
Yeah, I think Designs for Health does another one. I have a few written down, but I haven't got them in front of me. But I have I do have some more, and I'll just put them in the chat when I find them, okay?
That would be great.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's always nice to have specific products that other folks have used. There's one that, and I'm drawing a blank on it too. I'm sorry, Alma. And it's an ATP it's ATP something. And I don't remember what it's called, but there are a number of them out there. And I'm drawing a blank, just like Sequoia is as to the names of them. But yeah, so you know, when we look back at this, just as an overall of these metabolic acids, this is basically an oat test. We've got the dysbiosis, you've got some carbohydrate metabolism issues, you've got, so your Krebs cycle stuff is way, way off, way, way off. And that can be a helpful piece. Amino acids are important in some of the Krebs cycle metabolites. You've got your neurotransmitters are actually given that you're probably fairly balanced in what you're taking. I don't remember the indole acetic acid. I thought that was a ketone. Let's see if they have a good explanation down below. Vitamins we already looked at, but you're also looking at in terms of vitamins, not just the amounts. The first part looked at the amounts of the vitamins. This is looking functionally. And they probably have a chart in here somewhere that talks about which ones of these are related to which. I know, for example, methylmalonic acid is the B12, and you're on the borderline of the B12, you know, methylmalonic acid. You're heading into high. See if they have it down below. And you said you were taking the tyrosine while you were doing this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was taking tyrosine, 5-HTP, and another that's like contains all the amino acids.
Okay. And how much tyrosine were you taking?
Maybe 1,500 milligram per day, 1,000 to 1,500.
In divided doses?
Yeah.
Yeah. And according to this, you should be able to up that a little bit. But I'd go carefully with it.
The tyrosine?
Yeah.
Even though it's in the red on the high end?
Well, that's not tyrosine. That's a metabolite that suggests a tyrosine deficiency. I'm looking to see if they have their explanation. And if not, I'm gonna find a place where I have one that describes some of these specific metabolites on the oat. They don't have. See how they have that nice little description for the vitamins? They don't seem to have that for these metabolic markers, unless I just haven't made it down that far.
Yeah, they don't have that for the other. Only for the vitamins. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find, I've got, see if I can find it. And I can put a link to this. Oh, let me look on the.
Rita Marie?
Yes.
Yeah, I just put some in the chat.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Let me go back and find my... Dropbox. There we go. All right. I'm going to find and I'll give you guys a link to it. It will be in the program soon, but not, it isn't in there yet because I haven't opened up the organic acid module yet. Okay, so if I go to files, I go to here, there should be a section that says, oh man, why is this doing this to me? See if I can find it. If not, we'll make a note of it, and then let's find it and put it up. It's a description of the different pieces of those different markers on the organic acids, which relate it to the same PT. Assessment tools, adrenals, digestion, body. Ah, here we go. Amino acids, oat cases. I know that there's a spot. Interpretation, here we go. Let's see if I can show some of this. Okay, so this is from the Great Plains test, and this is describes each of your different sections of it. So I'm just going to give you guys the link. Let me just go to share. I'll just say share. Okay, share, and then I'll get you a link. Copy link, and I'll just put these in here. And you can use these. And it goes through a lot of the stuff that's on this test, but in a lot more detail than your test is giving you. And you're going to have access to all this stuff. We're just, in the process of getting this stuff reorganized and formatted properly. Put up. So share, create a link. And copy. So each of these, you should be able to click to this and access it. You can't edit them, but you can actually see them. So that was the third one. This one, there's three more pages. Just bear with me as I give you this. I think you'll appreciate it. And Lynn, make sure we copy these and put them on the page. Copy the link. Paste. I got four. I've got five. Create a link. Copy the link. Six. There should be one more. And there's not 100% one-to-one correlation between the two. There's certain things that the oat from Great Plains has that this one doesn't, and vice versa, but these should be very helpful for you in doing this interpretation. I'm not sure how you feel about it in terms of making this available. We can always take your name off of it and making your test results available for people to use as a study. Totally up to you. But we can take this and edit out your name and everything and then just, you know, be able to take a look at it. How do you feel about that, Alma?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll just put a little white blob over your over your identifying information. Okay, so if you look at some of these, let me go back here again. So, there we are. Many tabs open. So if I were to open up, that was your, let me see, the second page. I think the third page might be where they do. Yeah, so let's go back to your Nutrival, and let's look at the tyrosine marker. Boy, that's weird. It's not showing up here. I had it open on another screen. Is it here? No?
Yeah, if you go up, tyrosine is on page 8, at the very top. You'll say page 8.
Page 8, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Page 4. Page 5. Now it went to 16. That doesn't make any sense. Let me see. Did this one still screwed up? I just had it here. What happened to page? Seems like it's jumping. There's creatinine. Okay, it was above this. Markers for urine, peptide markers. There we go. So it's homogenic acid and hydroxyphenylacetic acid. So if I look at that other page that I was just showing you here, homogenous acid, let's see. That would be on the other page. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time to go through. These take forever, and we've got cases and lots of hours and hours of cases that we need to go through. But I would just go through these interpretations and see what you can understand further about this test. If we go back to it, you've got your neurotransmitter stuff. It's, like I said, it sounds like most of your stuff is pretty balanced there except for the tyrosine markers. And a lot of these things, you're going to see them high and think, oh, that's high. That should be that I'm fine with that. But in reality, when metabolic byproducts, intermediaries are high, it means there's a blockage in a pathway. And that's usually what we're measuring. Right.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? So, like for the vitamins themselves, you want them to be in the middle range. You're generally not going to see them high, but on the vitamin metabolic pathway part, which is, see if I can find that page. It keeps skipping. I don't know why it keeps skipping. Must be the flicky internet. Okay, there we go. Vitamin markers. So see how some of these are high? So if I were to look up glutaric acid and say, what one is that associated mean? It being high means that that vitamin is probably low. Like, look, methylmalonic acid is high. It's on the high side. That means that B12 is low. Because right. If there was a B12, it would carry that methylmalonic acid through to the end state of that particular reaction. See what I'm saying? So the stuff I just loaded up to you, some of these links, and I can't tell you which one's which. That's one of the things I want to go back and, like, identify. So when we put them up, you'll know which markers they are. But if you find these markers on there, you'll know which ones of these are associated with which vitamin. Because they explicitly state that in the OAT test interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So what I put up to you is going to help you further interpret some of these other pieces in here. Your amino acids. Now, this measure is the actual amino acids. So some of them are high, some of them, but you are supplementing with a lot of these things. So that's probably why I'm not really concerned about that. The only one that's low is the lysine, which is why when they had their supplementation thing, they looked at lysine. High lysine. A low lysine in comparison to arginine. Arginine is just right in the range. If you had a very high arginine and a low lysine, you'd probably be a lot more prone to getting herpes sores. Non-essentials. I'm never really concerned about high levels of amino acids unless there's the ratios. Specific critical ratios would be off. Like, for example, glutamic acid is high, which is an excitatory. That one I'm more concerned about. That's a excitatory neurotransmitter. I see what you mean. Your tyrosine showed high, but there's still something that pathway for tryptophan, and it may not be related to tyrosine. The other thing that they have in the, let me see if I can find it, in the OAT interpretation is some really cool pictures, like this neurotransmitter picture. See if we can create a link for that. And copy link. There we go. Let me see if we can open this and show you. But it shows you the picture. Okay, so this is like they're showing you the end of the nerve and where the neurotransmitters are released. So it shows you the pathways. Tyrosine. I don't remember the name of the one that you were high in, but this might not be a full picture anyway. I'm surprised though that NutriVal doesn't have this interpretation thing. Let me just look up. Here we go. Let's see. See what this one looks like. Fourteen pages. Let's see. And it goes into the specifics. This might be useful. This looks very useful. I have to take a look at it. I'll put this in there, too. But yeah, just do some searches for NutriVal interpretation, and we will go a lot more into all of these tests when we go through the modules on these tests.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. I'm just going to look one more time to see if there's anything important that I missed. I want to look at the fats, because fats are usually pretty straightforward to assess. I like this test because the kids, all of them, the omega-3, 6, 9s and the ratios between them. Your omega-3s look good. Your omega-9s are a little on the higher side. Let me see where your omega-6s are. you're definitely omega-3 dominant, which is good. But there's probably some conversion here because you're high in linoleic and you're low in low normal, gamma linoleic, and then even lower in dihomo and arachidonic. And, you know, while we don't want arachidonic too high because it's inflammatory, but you need a level of inflammation to maintain normal immune function. B6 is one of the important nutrients in these interpretations. So there may be something to all that Krebs cycle and B6, the vitamin B vitamin stuff. And yeah, again, you know, typically when I'm looking through these tests, I'm sitting there with my interpretation guides and trying to make sense of it with the person's history. And we'll go through all that when we take the time to really explain these tests in detail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just one more question. If you go on page 11.
Okay.
On page 11, it shows, like, nutrient elements.
Okay, page 11. I'm trying to get there. It keeps going flunky on me. What page am I on right now? Are these in order? So it looks like page 4 is towards the end now.
Yeah, the first 11 pages are practitioner, and then the last 5 is basically a physician copy. The last 5 are patient copy. So they do repeat the first 5. That's why.
Okay, got it. That's why I'm getting confused. Thinking 9, 10. Okay, 11. Okay, what was your question there?
So that one shows nutrient elements. It breaks it down, copper, magnesium, manganese. And these show almost in normal ranges, see? So, but then on the first page it's saying I'm in high need of them. So how is this different measure than the first one?
Different compartments. Was this, you did, there were multiple compartments to this, right? You did blood and urine, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I haven't done that many NutriVals, so I'd have to go back to their interpretations to find out. It's just different compartments. So this is in the red blood cells. And the other was probably in the urine, right? Toxic elementals. So it looks like you're low on your toxic elements, which is good. And it looks like zinc was normal on the other one. Selenium we didn't measure on the other one. But zinc showed normal
on
the other
one.
Both
and magnesium here shows
magnesium
shows the other
normal
one.
Red blood cells. So that's a good question, and I don't know the answer right now. I'd have to go back and kind of go through it and see. Yeah. Yeah, no, but I'm going to have to go back and read through what compartments they're measuring on and what does that mean if there's a difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because magnesium, manganese, and molybdenum seem to be showing something different.
Yeah.
All right. These are tests that take a lot of to get really masterful at, and know that I have interpretation guides for all the tests. And anytime I'm going through a test, I don't want to miss anything. I mean, the ones I don't necessarily go through those with are the short fatty acid ones, the blood spots, because I've done enough of those that I can do them in my sleep. Probably I don't do that for the adrenal test. But anytime there's a more complicated test, know that that's the reason for these interpretation guides. That until you've done several hundred to 1,000 of them, you're still going to be wanting to refer back because you're never going to see all the patterns in every single test. So it's everyone a learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
I hope this was a little bit helpful.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was.
Good. Definitely starts with the gut stuff. It always goes back to the gut for me.
Yeah. That's your weak link, right? That's your spot that broke down first, right? And clearly there's other stuff going on. And the thing about the gut is that it affects everything.
Yeah. I feel like I'm moving in the right direction from where I started, but I got a lot more work.
There's still more work.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, so that was a long one. I don't know what Mary Lynn had in her stuff. Let me just take a look. If it's a quickie, we could do it. If not, I'm feeling like I'm fading here. Let me find it. Lynn had given me her. Yeah, we got to get more organized about how we keep this stuff because it's not always easily findable on Mary Lynn. Okay. Okay. Your forum and what's your lab? So I'm going to open up each of these and I'm going to try to open them up in a new, I don't know if it lets me open them in a new. Web archive files can't be previewed. I'm not sure what kind of files. Lynn, did you take a look? Can you open up your line? Did you take a look at what Mary Lynn submitted? Because whatever these files are, they can't be, they're not accessible. I've never heard of a web archive file before. Let me look to see this stuff. I keep that open.
I didn't look at it beforehand. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's something. So that's one of the things we're going to have one of our new team members take over doing so that we're all ready for these. Because it's time-consuming. These calls are time-consuming to prep for and to do. Let me see if there's something attached here. Yeah. Oh, I don't know what these are, Mary Lynn. Open up Mary Lynn's line. I don't know what web archive means. But these are clearly not files that are going to, let me see, if I save it. Wait, I don't want to save it in Alma.
Mary Lynn, your line's open.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. How did you get these files?
Well, I am not sure what I did. I really wasn't sure what I was doing when I did the uploading. I was just hoping. And I did it just in the last few days. So I know you wouldn't have time to look at it anyway. And there's a lot there. I was attempting to send you a lot of stuff because I have a lot of data that nobody's ever really looked at the whole of it to see the big picture. And so that was partly what I was looking for some help with. So
let's do this. I can open your files. So whatever they are, did you create these files somehow or did somebody give you the?
I scanned them. I scanned in some of them were documents.
Okay, so you have taken documents that you scanned, and it might be some proprietary format that your scanner put them in.
Okay.
So whatever it is, so what we would need is a PDF or JPEGs. And if you're not sure how to create it, you might just go over to someplace like Kinko's and say, hey, I have all these things. Can you scan them into a PDF document for me?
Okay.
Or into a digital document.
All right. And maybe I can talk with Lynn later to make sure that if I have questions or make sure I'm doing it right.
Was it on your computer, Mary Lynn? Like it's on your computer and you. Yeah, I bet. You know, if you go back to your scanner, it might be as simple as going back to the scanner, and I don't think any of us could help you with what your particular scanner does. But I know when it'll say, what form do you want me to save this in? And it has a choice of JPEG or PDF or other. So if there's a way to specify PDF.
I thought I did send PDF, but
I can try opening this. Let me see. If I try opening it, let me try opening it as a PDF when it says what form do you want to use to do this. Let me see.
And also, Rita Marie, the ones you're looking at there are ones that came from my doctor, and I just saved them. And they both might not have been PDFs. And there are some others that I sent you several days ago that were PDFs. Those are the older ones, older lab tests and some spreadsheets that I made on my own. But
when you when you save the ones from the doctor, let me just see if it'll open it up in PDF form. WordPad, Word. It doesn't even give me a choice. Let me see. I'll try that.
There.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's not you. That was somebody else.
Yeah.
Let me just see if it opens it up as a PDF. Adobe Acrobat could not open it because it was either an unsupported. Yeah, it's not a PDF. It's just going back to old PDF. Yeah, so were you able to open that file when you got it from your doctor and see what was in it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
And then
so if you can open it. You said save as.
And then I did save that, went to my files, and then I just clicked on it and submitted it through the uploader file program that I found.
Okay. So if you go back to if you look at your file, it's on your computer, it says .pdf, then what I want you to do, instead of trying to do it through the uploader, is just send us an email, ine@drritamarie.com, and attach it to that and see if there's a difference. Maybe there was some kind of interpretation done in the upload process. Don't know. I'm just guessing, trying to help. But, yeah, and we'll just set up a time to go through all of this.
Yeah. And so the best time to do this would be on the office hours next month in November.
On the case study, yeah. If you can get all your stuff together Yeah, the case study.
Yeah, in November. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll aim for that. I'll aim to have everything there in plenty of time for November call. Thank you.
Right. And if you need help before that, reach out and Lynn will either try to help you, or she's not the computer techie person, but we may be able to put you in touch with somebody who can help you. But see if you can get them in. If you open them on your computer and you do a save as PDF and it saves and you can still open it, then send it to us. Either you could try the uploader again or you could send it to us via email and we'll just load it up into your file. Because we already have the upload.
Okay.
So just send it to us via email.
Okay? Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry that was not productive, but it will be.
It will be. Okay. Good.
Right. Yeah, and very soon I want to start making, I would like to get you guys doing some more interpretations. I know it takes a long time to learn all this stuff, but after we get through some more of the lab stuff, I'm going to have you guys actually take a crack at some of these things yourselves. But the more I think, this is just my opinion, maybe it's not true, but I think you probably most of you agree, is that when you see these interpretations over and over, it gets your brain thinking in terms of how do we proceed, how do we ask the questions, et cetera. Okie dokie, thank you. Oh, my hand is up. I wonder what I want to ask. All right. Any other questions about what we covered today? Because I've got a we're over time, so I just want to make sure that there wasn't any points of clarification or anything that needed to be addressed. Let's see. I cannot read these bloody things. It's so tiny. I wish. Oh, I know what I could do. I could just make my screen thing bigger. Let's see. Because I can't see it if I go to. Nope, it doesn't change it. Darn, Lynn, that stupid chat box. It's not making it any bigger. I don't know if you guys can see my chat box from here. It said, Allison, I remember when you did that, the adrenal test test in the practitioner program, shocking but great training, like role play. Yes, yes. And those are easy to do. So we'll have more, yes, we'll do that. We won't just say, okay, here's a huge NutriVal test. We'll do it on pieces of it. And it was great watching that, if you remember that, when we did the adrenal stuff. People were, like, getting so good at it by the last call. So, anyway, it's practice, practice, practice. That's why they call it practice. So, everybody, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it. I hope this was helpful. And we will talk again super soon. Bye-bye now. I think your lines are all open.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.